Welcome to Barbecue Radio Network, America's premier barbecue radio show. Join your host, two-time world champion, Andy Groneman and friends, as they sink their teeth into the finest grilling, smoking, and barbecue from coast to coast with the industry's leading pitmasters. Stay tuned for great tips, techniques, and products that will enhance your backyard experience by being a part of the Barbecue Radio Network.
Thank you for tuning in and welcome to Barbecue Radio Network. I'm your host, Andy G, along with our executive producer, T-Bone, and my co-host, who has won the American Royal and in a poll of one of our listeners, was found to be the smartest person in the studio, Todd Johns.
That's right. Yeah, and thanks, Mom. I really appreciate you calling in.
I didn't say which listener, but I did make sure that full disclosure was just one.
That's right. Well, that's all I can manage.
Well, we're excited to have a new guest today, and it's going to be a new spin on some barbecue favorites. And yes, I did use spin because it is DJ Chef Fred Nesbitt, and he's going to be joining us today. So while I get to do some fun, you know, barbecue dad jokes on the whole spin thing, what Chef Fred is really known for is his cannabis infusions into food and barbecue. So that cuisine is infused and paired with cannabis extracts and terpenes and all these things that, man, I am not that great about working with. I've never done infusions.
Well, I think this show is going to be an all-time high. I really do. I think this is going to reach new levels.
If you're not smoking by the end of this one, you will be. So, but seriously, I'm expecting to get a lot of good intel today because this is an area that I have not done a lot of work in, cooking and on the grill and smoking. Cannabis and how you incorporate it into barbecue. That's what we're going to do today. So we'll see how many smoking jokes we can get made.
I think this is going to really upgrade your Christmas party every year.
Yeah. Yeah. This will make those summer parties at the lake house.
Oh, man. Well, you can follow DJ Chef Fred on Instagram at DJ Chef Fred or hit his website, djcheffred.com. And then in our fourth segment, we are going to talk with Todd about cooking with Joe. And of course, he's got some great ideas to share just in time for the mercury to get climbing. Get out there and do some spring grilling with Joe. But we're talking about a cup of Joe. So don't think Todd's got a friend.
I don't have any. No, sounds like Chef Fred's got a lot of buds.
Yeah.
But more friends than I probably have.
We're going to get through half of the potential jokes before the first segment's over. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. They're already killing. I can tell.
Oh, by the way, we need to do the disclaimer. This show is for entertainment purposes only.
Yes, exactly.
I guess that means it's time for our Ask Andy segment, which is brought to you by Smoke on Wheels Kansas City Bootleg Barbecue Sauce, which, of course, you can get at All Things Barbecue. Head on over to atbbq.com. And don't forget, if you leave us a question on our Facebook or you email it directly to T-Bone or you send a smoke signal from Overland Park, Kansas, I don't know, whatever you do to get us that, you can get yourself a Barbecue Radio Network t-shirt when we use it on the air. So, T-Bone, what do you got for us?
Well, we've got a question from Robert Palmer. And Robert wants to know, is there a difference between heating pellets and the cooking pellets?
Well, I think we should hash that one out.
We should. We should hash it out.
Oh, did I make it to the wrong? Sorry, I was already trying to like drop another pot joke, but that's fine. That's fine. No, seriously. So the difference between heating pellets and cooking pellets is typically based around the production process. So when you make a food grade pellet, the oils in the dyes and all of that are supposed to be food grade versus just some petroleum based oil. So like a pellet that's coming through a dye is going to have some type of oil there potentially, and it has to be food grade to be a cooking or food safe pellet. And then of course you don't want any woods that would put off anything that would not be healthy to eat. So typically you don't cook over conifers or or anything like that and get any of those resins or anything into your food.
Soft maples.
Soft maple, exactly.
Pine tar.
Right.
And so heating pellets sometimes have those things or other fillers or binders in them to help boost BTUs for heating. And your cooking pellets are typically always hardwood.
Yeah. So, yeah, you're right. So it's the process and the material. And it can say heating pellet and say hardwood. It may or may not be all hardwood, but if they're selling something and it's a reputable company that's producing the pellets, if they say it's hardwood for smoking, for cooking, then it's going to be all hardwoods. And the oils, the greases, whatever, are going to be food grade, and there's going to be no carcinogens and things like that. The soft woods, the pines and the soft maples, they're going to have low BTU, which is going to really be hard to cook with. They're going to produce a lot of ash, which is going to smother your fire. It's going to be inefficient. And then it's going to produce just a lot of off-putting things, creosote and just, you know, a lot of additional resins that are not going to be healthy for you. They're going to clog up your exhaust. They're, you know, it's just, that's why also in fireplaces, like, I don't want to burn a bunch of pine. I'd rather burn some ash or some oak or things like that, because it's going to make my chimney a lot cleaner throughout the year or throughout the years.
And you see in heating pellets a lot of specification around ash content and fines in bags and things like that, because they have so much regulation around what your output can be. And obviously, cooking pellets in the kitchen, you have to have a separate hood because you got particulates. You've got all those things you have to worry about whenever you have a wood fuel source for those same reasons. But your cooking pellet is going to be produced slightly differently. So in other words, don't use a pellet that says it is a heating pellet for cooking.
Yeah. So some people may have, like you and I, we've been cooking on pellets for 20 plus years.
Yeah.
And some of you may say, well, you know, I've always cooked on this heating pellet, $4.50 for a 40-pound bag, whatever. And back when there wasn't a lot of people cooking on pellets, a lot of times the same pellets may have been in a heating, but once they produced so much for cooking, because there wasn't a huge demand for it, then they went into a regular bag. And there were some brands out there that were predominantly hardwood and you could trust
OHP,
them.
OHP, like, which was what? Ozark hardwood
pellets. Ozark hardwood pellets. Pennington had a pellet that were, they were marketed and sold, but you know, those of us, we kind of knew that where they were coming from, and they were all hardwood and all that. I don't know that I would trust that anymore, because the demand for pellets for cooking is so high that I'm sure they're dedicating those kind of woods, and the stuff that's in heating may not always be 100% hardwood.
Correct.
So that would, for any of you OG pellet cooks out there that have always been running like that, it may not be a good thing these days.
Yeah. So just watch the bags, read what it says on there, look for something that says that you can cook with it. It might say that it is for cooking or you can cook with it. You want to see something that says that it's all hardwood. You want to make sure there's no other filler, binder, or other piece in there. So, yeah, that's really it, is just looking at, like anything we talk about when we're hunting meat. You always want to look at the label and see what all that is.
The answer is yes. There's definitely a difference. And again, if you're an OG pellet cook and you've been able to run that, that's great. But I would stick with anything now that just says it's for cooking.
Well, thank you for your question, Robert. We will get a t-shirt headed your way. And who knows? Maybe T-Bone will throw a bag of pellets in. Or he won't.
Yeah. Or a bag of something.
I don't have a bag of pellets. You know what? I'll throw in.
And my favorite pellets right now are grilling pellets, which they've got red oak and post oak in them and phenomenal pellets. So you might check those out. Go to grillinpellets.com. A little ninja plug there. But next segment, we're going to be talking with DJ Chef Fred Nesbitt, and he's going to dig into his techniques and flavors coming up next here on Barbecue Radio Network.
We build a grill, Holstein Manufacturing. You have a better recipe for when you grill. Better ingredients, better cuts of meat, and because you're using a grill from Holstein Manufacturing, well, a better grill. You take grilling seriously, and at Holstein Manufacturing, we make a serious grill. Find your new grill now at HolsteinMFG.com.
We built a grill, Holstein Manufacturing.
Holstein Manufacturing, we build the grill.
Welcome back to the award-winning Barbecue Radio Network. I'm Andy G, along with executive producer T-Bone and my co-host, Plowboy's own Todd Johns. And we've got a new guest this week. He is one of the original cannabis chefs on the festival circuit. He's had over 15 years infusing meals from fine dining to barbecue. And he's performed and taught all over, including events like the Emerald Cup and Chalice. You can follow all of his exploits on Instagram at DJ Chef Fred. Or you can go to his website, djcheffred.com. Welcome to the show, Chef Fred.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it. Much blessings to everybody. Thank you.
It is so good to be talking with you. So this is, and I said this in the first segment, this is a new space for me because I have not done a lot with infusions or working with adding cannabis or extracts into my sauces, my dishes. So I'm excited to kind of get the full view of what it takes to figure out those right flavors to blend right. Todd's got a set of questions too. He was like, how much can I put in and still get the same
get the
high
effect.
That I yeah, get what I want out of my meal and be able to track kind of.
Well, and typically, Andy, you're self-infusing with bourbon, I know,
yes,
quite a bit. So that's a little different. But
that was amazing.
Deglazing the cook is what we call that.
And we were talking off air, and T-Bone, who is like hiding behind his screen over there, sent you some of Todd and I's sauces, which is pretty amazing. I didn't know he was going to do that, but you had an event last weekend and got to use them. I want to hear all about that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I put on events all over, and this one was bourbon and cannabis. So I infuse food. I have four, I think it was like 14 different bourbons. Everyone got, you know, pretty lit. You know, the cannabis comes from our dispensary in Santa Rosa, Humanity Wellness. So we set it all up so that you go into the dispensary and you get the pieces that are needed to help put this event on. So then the delivery service drops it off to you, and each person has their own kit so that it's ready to go. So they get the food, they get the cannabis products, and they also get to be in the speakeasy and be able to taste all the different bourbons. So I have the, you know, there's three sets of products on one table with, like, for instance, you had your bootleg. I used the bourbon infused bootleg, smoke on wheels. Amazing. You know, I did these little YU sliders with caramelized onion and bacon with the infused bourbon. So then I took an extract, and for the 20 people, I broke it into 10 milligram edible bites, that it's just one burger that they can have. They can only have one burger. You know,
no stack
going
of sliders
around
on that deal.
Yeah, so it was amazing though, because I got to use the terpenes and the flavor profiles that I liked about this extract and be able to infuse it with the flavors that you've created with your infused barbecue sauce. So it went very well. It was a hit. The sliders, I think that and the wontons. I did a pulled pork wonton, and that's what I did with a KC Crossroads.
Nice.
So that one was on a wonton, and it was, you know, just like a fried wonton. And then it had the barbecue sauce with the a little coleslaw that I do, and then the pork on it.
And you mentioned the terpenes. How do you go about figuring out the right flavors and the right elements? Because I know those also play into what levels and different flavor profiles and aromas you're going to get out of the products. How, what are you doing when you're kind of putting that together? What's the mindset? What's the thought process?
It's depending, you know, so sometimes I actually take the flower itself and we squish it and we make rosin out of it. And that has pretty much the really great bouquet. It's non-volatile, you know, so you're just squishing the product to get this extract. That, so like if you have something that's real gassy or something that's fruity, right? So with the bootleg, you could use something that's gassy. And then with the KC, you could take it in and pull it into something that's a little fruitier to give that a little, like a higher sugar flavor.
Yep.
Right. And so then you can use it inside of your, the pulled pork like I did. I mean, I took that. I mean, I fortified both a little bit with my own little trickery that I like to do, but it started off with the basics of what you had. You know what I mean? Like I actually hit a little bit of sesame oil also inside of the KC Crossroads. So that it turned it into like a more of an Asian flair of it.
So
you know, it was interesting. It was cool. It came out cool. Everyone loved it.
That's cool. You know, so
I'm just trying to play with them. You know,
is it more of a finishing when you're applying the cannabis element to it? Is it more of a finishing piece, or are you actually cooking with it? Are you applying any heat to it, or are you leaving it kind of in its state and using it more of a finishing piece?
First started making edibles, it was always like, you know, you're using butter or oil or a tincture, and there never was a way to be able to say, like, you'd be like, oh, eat this cookie, it's really good, you're gonna love this, right? And they use, you know, great quality product inside of this, and then all of a sudden you're wishing you never ate a cookie in your life ever again, right? You have no control over that. So what has happened with science and testing is that you're able to look at by using whatever extract that you have. Like, say you have a 1 gram extract of rosin and you get it tested and it says that it's 75% THC. You know that that 1 gram now has 750 milligrams of active THC in it. Okay. So do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So now you can take that and be able to break down a recipe. You got a 16-ounce bottle of barbecue sauce. I'm going to use 1 teaspoon. Well, you know what I mean? And yeah, now you can break it into, okay, I need...
Because that is something that we've always heard. Somebody makes a batch of butter or makes a batch of brownies with something that they have taken a tincture to use in. You don't know whether that thing has 5 or 50.
Right.
MPs, yeah. Right? Like, so the... This gives you truly more of a scientific way to build your recipe, almost like a baker. That's awesome.
It's at that level. I mean, that's what you have to do to be able to do the stringent testing for your edibles in California alone.
And if you're using it like in the barbecue sauces as a dipping sauce that you maybe you've not warmed up or anything, is it going to change versus like cooking with the cannabis? And we got about 30 seconds here.
No, it's, I would not cook it fully down with the cannabis inside of it. I would give it to the point where maybe there's like a finishing move. Like you say, you monte butter to finish the sauce.
Yeah.
So that it has a little shine to it. Right.
Yeah.
It's the same kind of concept because you're adding fat into whatever you're creating.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, we are talking with DJ Chef Fred, and you can follow all of his content on social media at DJ Chef Fred on Instagram or over at his website, djcheffred.com. When we come back, we're going to pick his brain on some barbecue recipes and get more great tips and tricks right here on Barbecue Radio Network.
Booth Creek Wagyu wants to help you elevate your beef. Experience the rich beefy flavor and signature buttery tenderness from our Wagyu beef grown right in the tall grass prairies of Kansas. Our farm-to-fork commitment ensures only the highest quality beef makes it to your plate. Go to BoothCreekWagyu.com and choose from our 4 marbling grades to find your perfect steak. Use promo code RADIO when you shop and get 15% off your entire order. Booth Creek Wagyu. Elevate your beef.
Welcome back to Barbecue Radio Network with my co-host, Plowboy's own Todd Johns, and our executive producer, T-Bone. I'm Andy G, and we are back talking with DJ Chef Fred. And I wanted to jump back into where we just were and talking about getting those flavors right into the sauces and what that actually does to enhance and kind of level up the dish. What kind of flavors are we talking about when you do those infusions and changes to the sauces?
Jamon. So, you know, that's pretty funny, Kay, that you say that, because when I first started making edibles, I don't remember, I'm in my early 50s, and my first batch of brownies was in the early 80s. And I remember that we just ended up, I stole some weed from my dad, and then we grinded it all up, right? And we put it in a brownie mix. So when you're eating it, it felt like something you ate out of a Kansas City cow patty. What the hell is this, man? It was pretty crazy. You know, you're just like, it wasn't very good. And as time developed and understanding the plant, and you started to work with it more, and people started to not cook like that or make butter, right? And then they started to use extracts. Well, the butters, the panquility, the flavor is so intense of the cannabis that, you know, whatever you're cooking, you never really have an opportunity to find something that's going to be able to marry that, because it's so overpowering. And it was, you know, it ruins food and the panquility of what you're actually trying to create. So as extracts developed, we were able to create an extract called distillate. Distillate has no taste, no flavor, and it's pure THC. And you know how much milligrams and everything that's in it. So all of a sudden, we were able to make a 5 milligram edible, or a 10, or 100, or 1,000 even, you know, whatever we wanted to do in the beginning. But it also gave us the opportunity to start creating dishes and food and the creativity of all around, you know, barbecue sauces, lipsticks, you know, all the products that you started to see that were being created were because it didn't all of a sudden taste like cannabis. So then we started to understand more about terpenes and what the importance of the terpenes are. So we started to infuse terpenes back into the distillate so that it would have certain profiles that you would want to match, like in your bootleg. Okay, so one of my favorites is beta-carotene, right? And that comes also from black peppercorns, right? That's the terpene on peppercorn. So I was utilizing, because in the backside of your bootleg, I had a good crushed pepper flavor in the back. And along with the bourbon, you know, it went really well together. So I was able to use beta-carotene into the terpene, into the cannabis oil, so that it was going to be able to match your bourbon. Right.
Yeah. And
it wasn't
so
just your bourbon.
For everybody that's listening, you know, that doesn't understand what terpenes are essentially one of the elements that creates the flavors and aromas in vegetables and seed pods and even in some animals. There's terpenes in some animal products, but that is one of the elements that creates your flavors. So what Chef is talking about is being able to now take this distillate that is flavorless and having a very clear understanding of how much THC they're putting into a product, and now bring those flavors back in, which is pretty amazing when you think about it.
Yeah. And that it's helped so many other people be creative and be able to create products from lollipops, chocolates, you know, instead of it having this really dark cannabis flavor that you're just like, dude, I'm eating one of these things, you know. And instead, you're like, oh my god, this is delicious. There's companies like Kiva that, like, you know, they infuse mints, you know, and anything that is like food related. It doesn't matter if it's a bourbon or a piece of candy. It's still something that's edible that you could take that piece of candy, melt it down, and then put it into your food too. and now you have a direct dose.
Yeah, we were talking in the studio before you joined about how just everything in the country has really changed with the attitude towards cannabis, and it's just, to me, it's kind of funny that you know, middle class America would never smoke a joint, but they'll eat an edible. Like if it's in candy form, I'll take it and it's fine. But if it's rolled up in paper and, you know, pull my lighter out, then it's, you know, something different. It's just really interesting how that's just really changed.
Once science took hold, all of a sudden now there's a whole bunch of different things that were available to do that just weren't available a decade ago or 100%. Even 5 years ago. It's pretty amazing. The stretch there. So, but now what I want to talk about is what's your favorite recipe that somebody at home that wants to try and start to play with some of these flavors and leverage an extract and do that. What's your favorite go-to barbecue recipe?
You know, I like to make the barbecue sauces myself too. I'm a more ketchup-based barbecue sauce with lots of peppers, roasting, blackening, using the actual blackening of the peppers as the smoke point, smoke flavor. Amazing to actually create it. You know, you just take a bottle of ketchup and some molasses and some bourbon, if you want to use bourbon, you know, and the onion, the peppers, after you blacked them, throw them into a pan, throw the ignition and fire in the hole. You take that, mix that into your ketchup, reduce it down to a third, like a, you know, a half to a third, and you got a bang of barbecue sauce right there. Take your infusion, infuse it at the end so you're not cooking out the THC and turning it all into CBN.
Yeah.
You know, so you'll decompose the THC by cooking it too long, and it'll turn into something that make you want to go to bed instead of get you loaded.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm sensing a lot of 420 parties really getting excited right now.
Right. Yeah, I'll be at the dispensary. I'm going to DJ, and then I'm going to do infused street tacos out there.
What kind of music do the plants like typically?
Techno, for sure.
All right.
Now, street tacos. Now you're talking in my good ear. What are you doing for an infused street taco?
So I have a sauce that I put, like a salsa that I make, and then I infuse the salsa. Just do it right on a little flat top. I've got a little plancha set up, like for taco making. You know, it's got a steam table. I'll have a couple little employees over there banging out tacos, and I'll put some barbecue sauce, not barbecue sauce, but the salsa on their tacos, and they walk away and they have infused tacos.
That's so.
I'm not trying to take away from the taco. The taco needs to be the taco, right? So there's so many different ways that you can import it in. I used to think like, oh, I get it on the meat. I got, no, you don't, dude. You just put it in the sauce and let them walk away with it. And then you have control over, you know, how much. Did they get 10 pieces of meat, or did they get 3 pieces of meat? No, they got 1 spoonful.
Yeah, and that's, again, it goes back to that whole idea of being able to control what you're doing and maintain that same thing. And I know I'd read some of your menus from past events, and it was really about ensuring that the amounts were such that you could go through that whole tasting experience. And
not have to be wheeled off in the golden wheelbarrow. That's right.
Yeah, exactly. It's and so that's important, and that should be the takeaway, is now you have the ability with the science to be able to do that. Well, thank you so much, Chef. And don't forget to follow Chef Fred on Instagram at DJ Chef Fred, or hit his website over at DJChefFred.com. Check him out over there. And if you want to do an event, if you want to try some of this stuff, hit them up at the website. Get checked out there. Coming up next, we're going to talk with Todd about
Cooking with Coffee.
Right here on Barbecue Radio Network. Welcome back to Todd and Andy here on Barbecue Radio Network. This segment is brought to you by Holstein Manufacturing. Check them out at HolsteinMFG.com. They have NSF-certified cookers and grills, and of course, my favorite corn roasters. Don't forget their mobile event and catering rigs. Check them out at HolsteinMFG.com. And, you know, the show is airing on 420. We got, you know, T-Bone finding us amazing folks to come on and talk about.
He was a lot of fun. Yeah.
Talk about.
I wonder if he's ever taken the corn roaster and like made it a weed roaster or something like that. You know, a weed dryer.
Wait, that's a whole separate segment.
I think this show, when it goes to podcast, because all of our shows, once they air on the radio, they go to podcast. It should be called the Bong Show. I think it's the 420 Bong Show, T-Bone.
I don't know. T-Bone?
Let's roll with
it. And then you sent him sauce. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
So he had an event.
Your sauce.
He had an infused event because that's what he does. He does private events and things like that. And he used our products and infused them. And people loved them.
Yeah.
And he used them the way. The funny part is he used them the way that I probably would have used them. I would have used mine on a Wagyu slider, and I would have used yours on a pulled pork.
Right. Yeah. It was pretty. Yeah. It was interesting off air when we, you know, first was talking to him and getting the lowdown. It was like, wow, you nailed that. I mean, he definitely is a chef.
Yeah.
You know, he definitely knows his has his chops.
And I like, and you know me, I like the science of everything. Mm-hmm. So. For me to understand where and we like we were talking about like those pot brownies from 20 years ago right. where you don't know if there was
from dad's
five
stash.
Milligrams or 50 in the brownie you're eating right. because there's no scientific way to control the amount, and then they tasted like ditch weed
right.
like that's what they tasted like right. so
like lawn clippings and brownies
so
or something.
The fact that now you can take these distillates which are flavorless but have a very controlled portion of cannabis and THC in them, and then add the terpenes back in so you choose the flavors you want. So like we talk about vanillin in oak creating mm-hmm. That vanilla flavor mm-hmm. in bourbon.
Right.
That's the type of flavor profile that we're talking about here. So when he said, yeah, I used a terpene and I'd butcher the one that he used because it had way more letters and vowels than I can.
And some numbers, I think. And
yeah.
Pictures.
Yeah, I would have had to write it down. But it creates those notes of black pepper and that spiciness of mm-hmm. a black peppercorn. And he wanted that on the back end of the sauce.
Yep.
Like, that's a cool. Yep. That's cool. And I love that somebody can do that. Somebody can go, oh, here's a flavor profile of terpene X.
Yep.
And I can take that and infuse that back into my oil.
Like you said, his palate totally nailed both products and he instantly knew what to do with them. That's quite a refined palate.
Yeah. So it's a little bit off of what we normally talk about on the show, but I thought it was a pretty cool conversation to have.
Yep.
But you know, now it's time for our All Things Barbecue product spotlight. And I don't think that there's any terpenes in the All Things Barbecue product spotlight, but I could be wrong. All Things Barbecue has all the tools and accessories to take your barbecue to the next level. So fire up your pit, get the supplies you need to do it all over at atbbq.com.
And they have all kinds of things you could probably put your weed in. So
that's right.
We're featuring Chef Tom's bovine bong. No, just kidding. It's actually a Chef Tom's head. And no, we're going to feature, this is a bit of a shameless plug, but
I thought that was a chia pet. The Chef Tom chia pet.
A chia Tom.
Chef Tom, if you're listening, let us know if you're going to have a chia pet.
We need to call Don and say we need a chia Tom.
Yes.
Let's make that happen. All right. So I was out looking at their site. I didn't realize how many like gift packs and bundles that they do, but they've got a lot of different bundles, like a meat church bundle. If you really want to like get introduced to a lot of meat churches things, they've got a Plowboys bundle, and I didn't know they had this.
Why would you have that?
I know. So they have a Plowboys barbecue, 4 rub and a thermometer gift set. It's $89.99. But when you figure up those four rubs individually, plus the thermometer, the instant read thermometer, that's a great deal. So perfect for the backyard grill, master in your life. It comes with an AT BBQ digital thermometer, Plowboys barbecue bovine bold rub, a jerk rub, a yardbird rub, and a fin and feather rub. $89.99
Fin and feather has to be in the mix because that's
so you can get all four of my rubs plus a digital thermometer at a pretty decent price. So yeah. I think check out their bundles. They've got some pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, and they throw the thermometer in because they know you need one, so they figure anybody else that's cooking with your stuff probably
needs it's a good starter for, you know, there's Father's Day is not that far away, and Mother's Day is coming up too. So
that's right.
Mom likes grilling too.
Surf and turf.
That's right.
Surf and turf. Got to do it. Well, thanks for that. And now we're going to talk about cooking with Joe.
Cooking with Joe.
With coffee.
So we were talking about cooking with cannabis, and now we're going to cook with coffee. So,
well, it's the all drug show.
That's right. Yeah.
Another stimulant for your dining pleasure.
That's right. So I spent some time. There's a local roastery here in town called The Roastery. And I spent some time with them recently talking about they've got a coffee barbecue sauce. But we started talking about coffee and how to use that in your cooking to maintain kind of the terpenes or whatever it is you were talking about.
Yes.
That would be terpenes.
Terpenes.
Terrapin is like...
That's a turtle.
A turtle.
Yeah, a terrapin. Who's the terrapins?
Maryland.
Maryland, yeah. Yes.
So anyway, the thing with coffee is you need to know how you're going to use it, right? And are you going to use brewed? Are you going to use grounds? Are you going to use it in a finishing product? Are you going to cook with it? So obviously the first place to start would be barbecue sauce, and you can add some brewed coffee, whatever flavor you want, and even adding like a bourbon with that coffee into a barbecue sauce. You want to add that after, like if you're making a homemade barbecue sauce, that needs to be the last element that you're adding off of the heat. So especially the bourbon. And you make a bourbon barbecue sauce. So the thing we have to understand is that if we add that too early and we're still cooking at that 190 degrees is the proper point for simmering a barbecue sauce, you don't want to burn off all the alcohol necessarily. You want some of that flavor in there too. So cooking with coffee, you know, if you're using brew, just kind of add it into your sauce as kind of a finishing point to add a little more depth to it.
What's your take on... Do you use what I would call a traditional brewed coffee American style, or would you use an espresso or something that has obviously more body to it when you're making a sauce?
So if you're going to use, so we'll talk about liquid form here real first. So if you're going to use liquid form, I would go with just something dark roasted, something with a lot of body. But if we're going to use it dry, if we're going to use grounds, like my favorite steak rub is to take my bovine bold with some espresso and with espresso grounds, and then a little extra black pepper, a little extra salt, and that's a great steak rub. The thing that you have to realize is that you're going to be roasting that coffee even further. So the best coffee to use is something that's light roasted, and even greener is better because you're going to continue to cook that on that steak and it's going to create bitterness. So to use like a French roast or a dark roast, it's going to really take it too far.
Which, and I'm not typically a fan of, when I started liking coffee ages ago, I was a huge dark roast fan. And when I went to Australia and experienced good coffee, because they have a coffee culture over there that is insane. Like you can walk into a filling station and they've got a $10,000 espresso machine there making coffee, banging out amazing coffee. And I started to like the medium roasts that are a little more fruity, a little more fragrant, have more going on better. And so I've moved that way in my coffee, but it definitely makes a difference in the rubs and everything as well. And I hadn't really thought of it the way you just mentioned it, but that is what it is. You're cooking it longer again.
Yep. And you're going to end up losing those flavors that you intended to be in the dish. They're going to be gone because you've cooked them out and roasted them out.
Well, I want to thank Chef Fred for being on the show again. And you can follow him over at IG at DJ Chef Fred. And don't forget to head on over to ATBBQ and pick up our Sauce of the Month, Smoke on Wheels, KC Bootleg. Thank you all for joining us. Next week, we're going to have David Buska, Butcher Barbecue, with tips on how to recover from barbecue mishaps, right here on Barbecue Radio Network.
What is it with you Yanks and your barbecues? Try haggis. Sheep's heart, liver, and lungs packed into the sheep's stomach and then boiled. Delicious.